Continue our Bible studies this morning in the book of Jonah. Turn to Jonah chapter 1 if you would, please. We left off last week covering a small portion of verse 4. It's interesting how I was sitting down this week to think about where I would go with these studies today. And I found myself looking at last week's study and thinking, you know what, there's probably 100 studies that I could bring just from those first three verses. I was sharing that with Pastor Gene the other Saturday Friday when Kathy and I stopped by. So before we continue in verse 5, let's look again once at verse 4 a little deeper. Let's look again at the things expounding concerning Christ as we saw our Lord doing with the two men on the road to Emmaus. Again, does not our hearts burn within us as we look at the things of Christ in Scriptures? Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." You don't need to turn there, but in the Psalms 107, it says in verse 23, "They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these, those who go down to the sea, see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the storm, the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up in the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. They are there, then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. These men who go down into the sea, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Our Lord is the one who brings this storm. It says so clearly in the Word. John Gill writes it this way. He says, "This was a particular wind." According to the old language, this was a particular wind sent directly at, hurled, in other words, at the specific part of the sea that they were in. That means the rest of the sea was calm and quiet, but where they were, these winds raged. Jonah thought he was getting away with his disobedience, but our Lord is Lord of all. As we see in Mark chapter 4, 37, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who controls this wind. I'll read it for you instead of turning here for the sake of time. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, our Lord, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What manner of man is this? He's God in the flesh. John 1:3 describes him this way: "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Our Lord Jesus Christ created all that is. The storms, the calmness, the mountains, everything. We continue in Jonah 1, verse 5, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." Here we see the old saying, every man who has been in a foxhole believes in a god. The sad thing is their gods were no more than a mere figure of their imagination. Their gods were of no use and had no power, as we see in the next part of this verse, "And they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." Why would they do that? They were praying to their gods. They had no faith in their gods. That's why. Think about that for just a minute. If they had true faith in their gods, why did they throw their wares over the edge? They had no faith in their fake gods. And no wonder. Why would anyone trust a God that failed to save his people? Why would anyone trust a God that left things to chance? Isn't that what free will is? I hope someday, I pray, Lord, someday my son will get smart and exercise his free will and come to the Lord. Isn't that what they pray? Their gods are useless. So they throw their wares over the edge to save themselves. They end up exercising their own works. Compare that. Compare that reaction of those men on that ship to a man of God. Again, you don't need to turn there, but our brother, the king, David himself, wrote in the Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place?" King David knew who God was. He was the God of all things. Why worry about something if the Lord of all things is in control of it? The puny little worm that stands before you can't do anything about it. Throwing my stuff overboard isn't going to stop anything. What about Nahum, the prophet of the Lord, in chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm of the clouds and our dust and the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languish. The mountains quake at him and the hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwelleth therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust him." These men of the ship obviously had no trust for their gods at all. But we have right before us a better example. As we see, we don't need to leave very far from our text to see the reaction of God's people. Look at the last part of verse 5, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." I recall in our Bible study, for those who can't attend on Friday nights, we recently looked at the book of Acts where Peter was imprisoned by King Herod. Excuse me. Peter, too, had peace with the surroundings around him, didn't he? He slept. Well, he had the garrisons all around him, the doors all around him were locked, two guards on each side of him that he was chained to, yet he slept. He too was unconcerned about his desperate situation. Now, this does not mean in any way that we don't get concerned, for we do. I don't know about you folks, but I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love you folks. When something happens, I'm quite concerned. I'm very concerned about Steve's wife, Rosemary, right now. She's going through some serious troubles. She has been for quite some time. I'm concerned for her. Don't want to see our loved ones go through pain and trouble. But we know who the Lord is. We know, but we know the Lord, and we who have been called, we who have been received, who have received the gift of faith, a gift freely given by our Lord Jesus Christ to all that the Father gave him, all of those he calls my people, we have a hope. We are concerned for our loved ones, but we have a hope. We have a surety. Our God has promised that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We believe His word when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This Lord our text is speaking of is Christ Jesus Himself. He has always been Lord of all. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. He has been given the name which every knee shall bow to. His elect shall hear His voice. His elect shall call Him God. We continue in verse 6 where it says, So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Now take note of this, folks. This is very important, for the world does not understand our peace. They cannot. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 8:7. The natural man cannot think on the things of the Lord. That's why it's so easy to come up with this new God, this one that isn't that we can control ourselves. This one that we say, I have the decision to make over Him. I have the power to reject or accept Him. It is my will, not His. That is the carnal mind. That is the natural mind of man in this world. Yet God says in Romans 3:11, there is none who seeketh after Him. The shipmaster probably thought Jonah was a crazy person. What are you doing down here sleeping in the bottom of the boat? Things are going to all get up. We're going to die. The world around them was in total chaos. Their lives were in jeopardy. They feared death. They feared the unknown. Yes, yet God had given this man Jonah, the peace so that he could sleep through that storm. That peace is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A peace that was noticed. Perhaps maybe the shipmaster didn't think he was crazy. Perhaps he saw that peace that this man had and he wondered. Well, I would say it might be suggested in this next part of the verse. Arise, a call upon thy God, if so be that that God will think upon us that we perish not. Obviously, to the ship captain, obviously he looked at Jonah and saw him as a man who wasn't worried. He said, call upon your God whom you trust in. Call upon this God who your faith is in. And then in verse 7 we also see, and they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know who this cause of evil is upon us. So that they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hold your spot in Jonah because we will come back. And while you're turning there, I just got to bring out this. Isn't Jonah having a bad day? I think about the old worldly saying, the carnal saying that says, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. No, God's people believe in Him that rules over everything that is. There is no such thing as Lady Luck. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sits on His throne, ruling all things according to His own counsel, working all things out according to His own will, and He does whatever He is pleased to do. It pleased the Lord to reveal to Jonah as the subject of His chastening. There was no accident, no chance that the lot fell on Jonah. Our Lord caused that to happen. Are you with me in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood. Let me repeat that. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And again in Jonah, verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he saith unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Jonah was finally brought to the point that he confessed his sin before men. How do I know this? Look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He confessed his sins. Our own sin is ever before us, and sometimes we choose not to look at it at all, don't we? Turn over to Psalms 32, if you would. That's why God chastens us. That's why the storms come upon us at times, to remind us of our sin. Because he loves us and wants us to remember that it is him that we have to look to. Stop looking at ourselves and look to Christ for our saving grace. Look to Christ for his mercy, that we would look to him for mercy. We see it's his strength when we see our own weaknesses. Sin has left a crimson stain. He, my Lord, has washed it white as snow. Are you with me in Psalms 32, beginning at verse 1? A psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring of all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Jonah had ran from the Lord. The Lord had given him instructions, if you remember last week's message. Instructions. And just as all of God's people do, we fall from those instructions consistently. Yes, yet, as I said last week, I'll say it again, we have an advocate. Thou, my advocate, art my hiding place. Thou, my advocate, shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou, my advocate, shalt compass me about with songs and deliverance. We sing a song titled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Allow me to read it for you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Pastor.